This message comes from NPR sponsor Planet Oat. No deep thinking here. Planet Oat oat milk is rich, creamy, and an excellent source of calcium with vitamins A and D. Also, Planet Oat's unsweetened varieties have 0 grams of sugar. Visit planetoat.com for more. This message comes from NPR sponsor Osea. Their Mega Moisture Duo features two of their clean, vegan bestsellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
You're listening to Life Kit from NPR.
I'm Regina Barber in for Mariel Segarra. Are you putting something off? Maybe paying some bills, making that doctor's appointment, a work project that you're dreading? Am I giving you anxiety just reminding you about it? It's easy to procrastinate, even when you know you're better off doing the task on time. In this episode of Life Kit, journalist TK Dutez talks with Anastasia Lachlan, a licensed therapist and recovering procrastinator. They'll cover what procrastination is, how it's sometimes linked with perfection, FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, and they'll give you strategies to help combat it today.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center. Every year, millions of people lose someone to cancer. But as an NCI-designated Comprehensive Cancer Center ranked in the country's top 4%, VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center is unrelenting in finding new ways to understand, detect, treat, and prevent cancer. Unconditionally committed to keeping loved ones in their lives. Learn more at MasseyCancerCenter.org/comprehensive.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Charles Schwab with their original podcast, Choiceology, hosted by Katie Milkman, an award-winning behavioral scientist and author of the best-selling book, How to Change. Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind people's decisions. Hear true stories from Nobel laureates, authors, athletes, and more about why people do the things they do. Download the latest episode and subscribe at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. Sometimes it takes a different approach to unlock your true potential. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format is designed to help you learn relevant skills at your own pace, so you can earn your degree on your terms and apply what you learn right away. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Let's just jump into the main thing of it. So how do you define procrastination?
So procrastination is typically a dysfunctional way of coping with unwanted emotions and feelings of anxiety, depressive feelings, self-doubt, or even fear. Chronic procrastination is an inability to regulate negative or fearful emotions or feelings.
Okay, so I was coming into this thinking that procrastination was really literally just the act of putting things off. But you're saying it's the act of putting things off because I'm struggling with an internal feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yikes.
But that's a good thing, right? Just kind of the insight and be like, okay, what am I struggling with, right? Like, what is it? And being able to sit there and kind of identify it with yourself. It's not a bad thing. Yeah. It's just allows you to have more awareness.
Yeah. So I think another thing that folks are dealing with that have this issue a lot, I know I do, people that deal in being perfectionists, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
What is it about the perfectionist personality that goes hand in hand with procrastination?
The perfectionism procrastination process cycle, it stems from typically being uncomfortable with an emotion attached to doing. So either engaging in the behavior that you're putting off or engaging in a task. And so the thought is, okay, if I can't do it perfect, or if I don't believe I can do it perfect right now, then I won't do it. I'll just wait until I'm in a setting or a situation where I can be completely perfect at it. And it's unrealistic and irrational because we typically are going to have some sort of reason why things can't be perfect. And what happens is people will wait to the very last minute because they have to do it.
Wow. Okay. So now what? First of all, what got you interested in helping people deal with perfectionism and procrastination?
I've struggled with procrastination and perfectionism since I was about 12 years old. And so it really started showing up for me in college when literally I was always asking for extensions and I would be just having panic attacks to the point where I wasn't able to produce and excel, you know? And so procrastination and perfectionism is something that really has the ability to cripple us. And so it was so imperative that I do the work and I do the inner work and I identify, okay, what were my barriers to procrastination and perfectionism? And how can I get to a place of loving myself unconditionally, no matter where I was in life?
So what would you say, what was the self-work that you did?
The self-work initially was identifying, you know, what were my barriers to productivity and identifying who and what was my inner critic.
The inner critic is like that. It's that little monster on your mm-hmm. shoulder, right? Like mm-hmm. that's talking smack to you all day.
Oh, absolutely. So, it doesn't stop.
Do you shut it down or do you just say, well, because it's a part of you still, right? So you can't, should you shut it down? Is it like a thing that you shut down all the way? Or is it like you have to just do certain actions to satisfy the inner critic a little bit so that you can like work on your whole self? I don't know. This is getting real meta for me right now.
No, you're right on. A piece of advice I give my clients and I've had to work through myself is I've had to learn how to combat negative self-talk in context of procrastination. And it's really doing the inner work and identifying who your inner critic is, where your negative self-talk stems from. But what is important to understand is that your inner critic is crafted over time from an absorption from caregivers, from teachers, from coaches, from siblings, from failed relationships, failed friendships. And over time, that voice sounds so much like your own, but that voice is not your own. So I think the first step is, you know, doing that inner work and identifying, okay, what is really going on for me? What is my negative self-talk telling me? And identifying that the voice is not yours, because we're all powerful and purposeful human beings.
Okay, so now that, you know, we've got our intentions set for greatness or you know, or just at least like loving myself today, this is today I love myself, tomorrow I love myself, and the next day I will forever love myself. Now that I'm going into the world like that, the task that I'm procrastinating on is still there. The people are waiting for me. They're relying on me. And every day I don't do it is getting worse and worse. Okay, now what? The real procrastination work.
One solution that I use and one solution that I work with my clients is called the Ivy League method. And what the Ivy League method is at the end of the day, you write down six of the most important things you need to accomplish tomorrow. And it's just six. You don't keep adding on to that list. And you prioritize those six items in the order of their true importance. So what six things have to get done and what six things have to get done in a priority type of way? So what's the most important? What's the second most important? What's the third most important? And once you arrive to your desk area or your working area, you only concentrate on one task at a time. And then before you move on to the next task, you're focusing on mastering or completing the one in front of it. You basically approach the rest of the list in the same fashion. And at the end of the day, you move any unfinished things that you didn't get to in that six up in the list of priority. And then you kind of just keep, you know, jotting them down and knocking them down as you can.
Okay. So Ivy League method, and it doesn't matter how big or how small the tasks are, right? Because yeah. I've seen other life coach people or therapists, or people say like, you know, well, take tiny chunks. Mm-hmm. But I mean, let me know if I'm jumping out the window with this.
Okay.
But if I'm taking tiny chunks and somebody's at the other side waiting for this project to be done, it's not going to get done for the good of everybody involved, right?
Right. Absolutely. And you know, also being able to use your natural patterns so to your advantage. So if you tend to be more alert in the morning, get that thing that someone's waiting on or that, you know, as a result of you finishing something, another task can be completed by someone else, especially if you're working collaboratively, get that done. So if there's a time that you feel, okay, maybe mid-afternoon, you're more relaxed, maybe that's the time to organize, that's the time to clean, that's the time to get your list together. So just being able to naturally and intuitively work with your own strong points are going to allow you to be more effective and more productive.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm definitely better. Like right now is my peak time.
Yeah,
after
me too.
This, I crash. You can't get anything out of me after that. Okay, so we have Ivy Lee method, mm-hmm. 6 tasks, and we're focusing on 6 tasks. Then we're also doing the most important ones at our peak time.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. is so key right there. And where in all of this does a therapist fit in?
Therapist can always fit in. Well, the type of therapy that's most effective for procrastination and even identifying, you know, your negative self-talk with cognitive behavioral therapy. And what cognitive behavioral therapy is, it's a goal-oriented, problem-oriented psychotherapy treatment. So think of it as like a kind of like a triangle, right? In CBT therapy, a therapist would help you identify what are your thoughts about completing a task, about engaging the behavior that you know that you need to do or complete. And then once you identify your thoughts about it, you can identify what feelings come up for you. And so understanding your thoughts and your feelings and then understanding what kind of behaviors follows allows us to combat and work through whatever barriers may be in the way of you procrastinating or you struggling with perfectionism.
As a therapist, as a person who kind of does these interventions with people, right? Like on the daily, what would you say to someone who thinks they procrastinate because they're lazy or unmotivated?
Well, someone that feels that way, I think it's very important to identify like where those feelings are coming from. And if it is something they were told, if they're comparing themselves to someone, and really processing and exploring where those negative thoughts about self come from. And, you know, one thing I always tell my clients is we can always change our narrative. So, okay, let's work with what you have. You're saying you're lazy. You're saying you're unmotivated. Where would you like to be?
Right.
And then from there, identifying what are the steps to get there, even if it means, okay, one day at a time, you're going to be more productive than the day prior, and celebrating every single success, even small ones.
Yeah, definitely. As a woman of color, I and many of my friends have this same mm-hmm. thing that we do. So we are great at work. We are great in the world where we have to have that forward face. And at home is tough, right? Our self-care comes last.
Yes.
Everything that we have to do for ourselves is basically we procrastinate on. Mm-hmm. So what is that about? Like, why do we procrastinate self-care and rest?
Well, I don't think I can speak for all women of color, but I think cultural components typically come into play with that. It's like we're taught to take care of everyone. It's like programmed in us due to family dynamics, and we're socialized that way. I know personally for myself as a woman of color, some of the things that I've been told is that if you care for yourself and only care about yourself, then you're selfish. And I think sometimes we attach our self-worth to our own productivity, and we're only as valuable as how successful we are. And then that makes us almost put our own self-care and self-preservation on the back burner. Another concept that comes up is imposter syndrome. And what imposter syndrome is, it's the idea that we hold internally that we're only successful due to luck and not because of our own talent and our own merit. And so imposter syndrome can be a barrier to us believing that we deserve permission to take a break, to rest, and to care for ourselves.
Yeah. So now, what do I do? Like, I'm talking about myself primarily right here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just say on behalf of all my girlfriends and whoever else needs to hear it. But like, intellectually, like you said, I know that the ship will keep on going. The place will run itself. But there's something about being left out or mm-hmm. missing out on the meeting or whatever. And next thing you know, it's been 6 months. I got, you know, dark under eye circles, and I can't get out of the cycle.
Right.
And, like, I literally sometimes have an anxious response to the thought of taking a vacation.
Okay. So what I say to that is you have to schedule it out, right? So the complete opposite of procrastination, right? It's like, okay, it's January, right? So we're January right now.
Yeah.
Take the time, and whether it be 6 months, whether it be 9 months, but I wouldn't wait that long, you know, identify when is a good time, even if there's nothing you have to do, but being able to give yourself permission to step away and know that, you know, that break or that rest is going to allow you to be more effective and more productive when you come out. Because burnout is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to put yourself first and prioritize yourself is actually a strength.
Yeah. And I think that what you said about scheduling time off, it makes sense to me because it gives me a chance to get ahead mm-hmm. of all the possible things that could go wrong when I'm gone, because I think that a million things are going to go wrong. I'm sort of feeding into like, okay, well then I'll work extra hard at the top of the year so that when I take my vacation, I'm less stressed out. So that's cool. Like, as long as I give the people the opportunity to not burn the house down while right. I'm gone, that's all I need to know. And then I think I'll feel better taking some time or not procrastinating that.
Absolutely. And then another thing that you can do as well is like having systems in place, right? And so because you're planning the time off, you're able to identify, okay, are you able to delegate? Okay, who can you delegate to? In the case of an emergency, an absolute emergency, right? Like, are you able to be contacted and by who, right? So identifying your boundaries and identifying systems that will allow you to have confidence to step away and give yourself that rest that you deserve.
Yes. Oh, I clapped a little for boundaries. I did.
Boundaries are everything. That's a whole nother episode, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, let me put a pin in that one. Boundaries.
Yes.
Oh, is it procrastination when we prioritize doing things for other people? Like, for example, I recently built my mom a whole online shop for her hobby, not even her job. Uh-huh. And I still need a website for myself or to update mine. The enormity of my own thing, it just feels like so much. But why was I able to do hers? You know, is that a type of procrastination when we do for others?
I think so. You know, when we're doing for others, especially people like myself, and it sounds like you as well, we're helpers, right? Yeah. And so there's a need to be needed sometimes. And so by allowing ourselves to be productive and show up for somebody else can sometimes even be more easy or more satisfying than showing up for our own selves.
Ooh, girl.
Yes. That's something I had to even, you know, work through in the beginning of my career. It's like, okay, I can show up for my 8 clients in the day, but when it came to me eating healthy, when it came to, you know, me trying to move my body and exercise, it was like, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it next week. I'm gonna start next Monday. I'm gonna start next month. And, you know, and one thing we have to identify and we have to understand is if we don't take care of ourselves, we're gonna be no good for anybody after a while, because we will burn out and we'll start to feel like, okay, we're helping everybody else get their stuff together. And, you know, internally and maybe even externally, we're falling apart.
Wow. Okay. Whew. Lots of food for thought here. Do you think procrastination can ever be a good thing?
I think sometimes procrastination can be a positive, you know, decision if it's planned and strategic. You know, one thing my grandmother used to always tell me that I always resort back to when I feel like I need to do all these things at one time and it overwhelms me is there seasons sometimes in life, right? And so we all go through seasons. We all go through ebb and flow. And sometimes it's okay to say, you know what? My hands are tied. My hands are full on these 4, 3, 5 projects, whatever it is. And it's okay to put things aside and revisit them when you're in a better place or you have more time to get things done in an effective manner.
And to recap, here's some tips for dealing with procrastination. Number one, try to avoid negative self-talk. Spend time identifying your inner critic, that little monster on your shoulder.
Who is your inner critic? Where is your inner critic coming from? And having hope and faith and trusting yourself enough to know that you can always change your narrative.
Tip two, just start. Like I said, now, today, just start.
Identify small goals. So even setting a goal for 10 minutes, right, that can easily turn into a few hours.
Tip number 3, learn how to prioritize tasks. Anastasia recommends trying the Ivy Lee method.
At the end of the day, you write down 6 of the most important things you need to accomplish tomorrow, and it's just 6.
Write them down in order of importance and don't move on to the next item until you've finished what you're working on. Tip number 4, don't be too hard on yourself. Remember, every success is just that, a success. Win, win, win.
Okay, you have identified 6 things that need to get done, and if you master 3 or you get 3 done, that's okay, right? In celebrating every single small success.
Tip 5, listen to your body and try to align your most demanding tasks with the time of day you tend to feel most energized or focused.
So just being able to naturally and intuitively work with your own strong points are going to allow you to be more effective and more productive.
And tip number 6, if you're struggling to address procrastination on your own, a professional can help.
It's okay to not be okay sometimes.
We've got an episode about how to start therapy if this last tip is something that resonates with you. We cover how to find low-cost options and how to find the right therapist.
That was journalist TK Dutess. For more Life Kit, check out our other episodes. There's one on mindfulness and another one about how to be on time. You can find those at npr.org/lifekit. And if you love Life Kit and want more, subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/lifekitnewsletter. Also, have you signed up for NPR Plus yet? Becoming a subscriber to NPR Plus means you're supporting the work we do here at NPR. Subscribers also get to listen to the show without any sponsor breaks. To find out more, head over to plus.npr.org/lifekit. And to everyone who's already subscribed, we thank you. This episode of Life Kit was produced by Audrey Nguyen. Our visuals editor is Beck Harlan. Our digital editor is Malika Gharib. Megan Kane is our supervising editor. Beth Donovan is our executive producer. And our production team also includes Andy Tagle, Claire Marie Schneider, and Sylvie Douglas. Engineering support comes from Becky Brown and Stu Rushfield. I'm Regina Barber. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor, Lisa, in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foams, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.